Job 28. Job was a man who suffered greatly. And when his friends came to see him, they didn't really help much. But Job was a man who held fast not only to his faith, but to his integrity and into his commitment to do what was right. And like many of us at times, we don't fully understand why things happen the way that they do in our lives. But we can rest assured that if we are faithful to God, that the Lord certainly has something wonderful in store for us. But Job begins to talk in chapter 28 about the greatness of man. In the book of Psalm 139, we remember that David says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Job talks a little bit about that here this morning in chapter 28. "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold that they refine." In ancient times, precious metals, priceless metals, and elements like gold and silver were sought for diligently, fought for, killed for. It was very precious. And there was a great longing for more of that. Solomon, of course, had more than any of us could ever imagine or hope to have. But he says, surely there's a place where those things can be found and refined. In verse 2, he says, "Iron is taken out of the earth." Think about that. "And copper is smelted from the ore." It's interesting as you go back and you look at ancient history and you see what man has been able to accomplish even without modern technology. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 3 says, "Man puts an end to darkness and searches out to the farthest limit the ore in gloom and deep darkness," as they are mining in darkness for something precious and beautiful. There is no limit to what they will do or where they will go to get this. Verse 4 says, "He opens shafts in a valley away from where anyone lives. They are forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air far away from mankind. They swing to and fro. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire." How would he know something about that? Verse 6 says, "Its stones are the place of sapphire, and it has dust of gold in the deepest and darkest places of the earth, under the earth. We are able to find the most precious and priceless things. Even the great beasts that God have created cannot accomplish these things." In verse 7, he says, "That path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud beasts have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. Man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots in search of priceless gold and silver." He says, "He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams so that they do not trickle, and the thing that is hidden, he brings out to light." They risked their lives, went deep into the earth to find these precious things. But then he relates something to us even more precious than gold or silver. In verse 12, he says, But where shall wisdom be found?" Again, in the deepest, darkest places of the earth, man exerts all of his strength to find a precious rock But where shall wisdom, the most precious thing of all, where can that be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth. And it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought, for gold and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It far exceeds the value of money. Verse 16 says, it cannot be valued in gold or ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it. Nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? If it's so precious and so valuable, we've got to have this. Its origin is not in the land of the living. And where is the place of understanding? Verse 21 says, it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abandoned deaf say, we have heard a rumor of it with our ears. And then he tells us in verse 23, God understands the way of it. And he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it, he established it and searched it out. Wisdom, its value, its power is beyond us. But the one true God in heaven, he knows it. He's familiar with it. Job tells us there is nothing that can be compared to wisdom. Why? Because it finds its origin in God. Job expresses to us that wisdom is the one important thing that all of us should be seeking after because it comes directly from God. In verse 28, Job says, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, it's the beginning of wisdom. He says, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Oh, how precious, how priceless, how powerful the knowledge of wisdom really is, and how foolish we are for not pursuing. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul connects this valuable wisdom of God with our salvation and freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 18, he says, for the word of the cross, remember, in ancient times, the cross wasn't something that you gloried in. It was the ultimate instrument of torture, death, and shame. But yet in that, we find something more precious than gold. We find something more valuable than anything that can be sought under the deepest and darkest parts of the earth. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? We think we're so smart, we think we're so intelligent, but yet we fail to grasp the most important knowledge of all. Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Verse 22 says, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." I find it very interesting, and you should too, that in a world that has been plagued throughout history with worship and service to pagan gods, to false gods, that the one true God, the Almighty, the all-powerful God, displays his wisdom. And in displaying his great wisdom, it is found in the cross. Paul says this is the greatest wisdom of all. How fortunate we are. How fortunate we are that our Lord went to Calvary willingly. How fortunate we are that one day someone told us about this story. How fortunate we are to be here this morning, gathered together because of what happened 2,000 years ago by the eternal wisdom of God. We find ourselves sitting here this morning in this assembly, the wisest people in the world. Why? We don't say that arrogantly. We say that because through humility, we have accepted the grace and the wisdom of God through the cross. Paul says in verse 25, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise," or those who think that they're so wise. "The greatest fool of all is the one who rejects the wisdom of God. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, like the cross, like his son coming out of Nazareth with rags, not a crown, not a robe. Despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you, because of his great wisdom, you are in Christ Jesus." Think about that. To those of us this morning who are in Christ Jesus, who are in fellowship with God, we are privy to wisdom that existed before the very foundation of the world. And in that wisdom, not only have we been forgiven of our sins, but we have a hope of eternal life. That's what it means to partake of these emblems this morning. That's the wisdom of God. Paul goes on to say, and to remind us and to give us caution, that Jesus Christ became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, and this comes from Jeremiah chapter 9, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." I hope that as we are partaking this morning, that we will feel that same way. Not that we are boasting arrogantly, because there is nothing personally to boast about. This is all because of the wisdom of God. Job says men exert all of their strength, all of their knowledge, their energy, their lives, to find a nice shiny rock under the earth. Whereas God exerted great power through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be his children and be with him forever one day. That's what it means to partake of these emblems. And if you are not yet in Christ, it is impossible to share the joy of that. We hope that by the end of today, you will be in fellowship with him and us. Let us sing a song, and then we will partake of these emblems.